Now we'll read today's Bible passage. Today's passage is from Matthew 5:17-20. And the title is, What Righteousness Exceeds That of the Pharisees? Once again, Matthew 5:17-20. And once again, the title of the message is, What Righteousness Exceeds That of the Pharisees? Now I'll read. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law of the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot, will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Please allow me to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise your amazing name from our hearts. We know that you have always been in existence and that you are an eternal God. You are the one and only true God. We know that you love us and that you gave your life for us. And because of your love, we are confident you will continue to provide us with guidance. Through faith, Lord, we can know you. And through our faith, we can believe in you and to walk with you. We ask that our faith will continue to be blessed and that we'll be able to know and experience you in a greater and deeper way. There, we know, Lord, that we cannot see you. But even though we can't see you, we know that you definitely exist. And through our faith in you, we ask that we can continue to see you. In this new year, we ask for abundant blessings from you. We also ask, Lord, that for those who do not know you, who are walking in darkness, that your gospel truth would reach their hearts, that we may be a form of your light to them in the darkness. They would be able to see your kingdom through us. We know that Jesus is the light of the world. We ask that we can be shining brightly as well and as light in this dark world. Please give us strength to do so. Please bless the message we're about to hear and bless Pastor Joey and Jiki abundantly as well. Allow us to be able to hear and also to live with this message. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Hello, everyone. This is the first Sunday we have this year for worship service, so it's wonderful to see all of you, and Happy New Year as well. I look forward to being with you again this year. Today, we're going to be hearing a message from based on the passage it was read just a moment ago. Just a little while ago on social media, there was this picture that was really in the news, in a sense. What do you think it is? It looks like all these like weird last names are put in kanji on a paper, but actually it's a love letter. If you read it from right in order, this is how it would sound. I love you so much. My love for you is abounding and abounding and abounding, and I hope you will love me as well. So this is kind of a funny play on words for these stamps. So there's sometimes you come across things in life where it just is kind of hard to understand. But as soon as you understand the background and context for it, then it all makes sense. We are learning about the Sermon of the Mount and Jesus teaching to many, many people there. However, there are some parts of this that are quite difficult to understand. That said, with an understanding of the background and the context, then it all of a sudden makes sense. One of the main points about this is that Jesus and the Pharisees had a very interesting type of relationship, and that's something you really need to understand. Today's title is What Righteousness Exceeds That of the Pharisees, and we'll look at two main points today. Righteousness is a topic that will often come up in today's message, and it has to do with the concept of salvation. Let's look at the first point. The righteousness of the Pharisees, salvation by works. On the Sermon of the Mount, Jesus was teaching, and teaching with the point in mind about the concept of the Pharisees and their perspective. So who are the Pharisees? It's not like Americans and Europeans and things. It's not that, but rather a group of the Pharisees who were Jewish. In those days in Israel, this was actually the mainstream religious group there in Israel. And the Pharisees were a group of people that actually came into being about 500 years before Jesus came to the earth. In those days, the people actually went away from God and the law as well. And it was because it was a time when many people weren't following the law. The Pharisees decided that they would go a different direction and to try and follow God. And they actually came up with various rules to do so. The Pharisee in Hebrew, the original language, means a separated person. In other words, they wanted to separate from people who were away from God, and they wanted to actually obey the law in order to get back to the heart of God. In our minds, Pharisees sounds like kind of this like dangerous group of people, but actually they were people who wanted to follow God, but they also believed that they could do so by salvation by works. As the era went on, they came up with special rules so that they would be sure that they would not be breaking the law, the Mosaic law. And if you think about like rules in schools in Japan, you kind of understand this, because if they're trying to keep students safe, they may come up with all these different rules to protect the children at the school. For example, to have children walk in a line when they go to and from school, or to not dye their hair or cut, their hair to a certain, length and so on. So all these rules just start getting made to protect the children. In those days, there were 613 rules with the Mosaic Law. And the Pharisees came up with all kinds of additional rules as well. As for the Pharisees, they believed that salvation could be obtained through works. And their specific teachings were called the Mishnah or the Oral Law. And that's one main point you need to understand when you're reading this passage. When Jesus was giving the Sermon on the Mount, he was trying to tell the limit to what you could have if there was actually with trying to obey all these rules. Jesus explained to them that it wasn't just a matter of obeying rules, but rather your heart in doing so, because God looks at people's motives and their heart. If you have to look at somebody's heart, It's very difficult, of course, for us to see, but God can see that. And if people are trying to just obey laws from a different perspective, then that won't be the purpose of doing so. There is a limit here, what Jesus was trying to get at with their rules and the purpose of obeying them. Let's think about it. As the Pharisees were in those days, it's very similar to kind of what the concept is now. Around the world, there's all kinds of different religions, but all other than that of Christianity focus on the concept of salvation by works. For example, in Buddhism, there is this concept of eight directions, karma of Hinduism, and also the precepts of Islam. And a lot of these other new religions coming out also focus on the concept of salvation by works. Why is it that so many religions are focusing on such a thing? And why is it that many people are interested in it? One of the main reasons for this is that salvation by works is a very easy to understand concept for us living in the society that we live in. It's likely that when you were young, when you were growing up, you were living in this competitive society, so you were often evaluated positively if you did something good, and the opposite if you did something bad. When you were young, for example, if you were very good at sports, then you would be praised, and if you couldn't do well, then you would be scolded. The same for adults. If you are done well, if you do something well, you get recognized, and if you make a mistake, then you get scolded or punished for doing so. In other words, we in the society we live in are evaluated by what we can do or can't do. And so that's why this concept of salvation by works is very easy for most people to just understand. However, the concept of salvation by works has actually a great fault to it. And that's because in most religions, there isn't a clear definition of how good you have to be good or what you have to do in order to be saved. Because of this, many people are always fearful of whether they'll be saved or not because they don't know just how much effort they have to exert. For example, if you're thinking about swimming and you're told that if you swam 25 meters, you'd be saved, but in reality, God's standard is 100 meters, then you're out of luck. Or for example, if you climb up Mount Kagoshima and you think that you've made it, but God's standard is Mount Everest, then you're out of luck as well. So because of this, many people in believing in other religions are constantly anxious. Because of this anxiety, the people in charge of those religions take advantage of people as well. And because of this, there's strange incidents that occur in these new religions. For example, a few years ago here in Japan, there was a problem with a certain church that started to give strange teachings, and many people paid a lot of money thinking that that would help save them. All of these believers are still saying that they actually gave all this money to the church because they wanted to. But even if that was the case, likely the motive was that they believed that they would experience something bad if they didn't, or their family would suffer. So is that really something that they were doing because they wanted to? Likely not. So this concept of salvation by works is something that has a huge dangerous aspect to it because it is not very well defined and encourages people to do things that they wouldn't ordinarily do or would choose to do. And we can see how the Pharisees also had such an issue with all of their rules because they were more interested in maintaining rules than the motives for doing so. Jesus taught that it's not just what you do, but the reason why you do something that's important to God. And so salvation isn't something that can be obtained just by doing something. In today's passage, Jesus speaks from the perspective of coming as the Messiah. And he speaks about the righteousness, such righteousness that exceeds that of the Pharisees, which is the second point. Once again, the righteousness that exceeds the righteousness of Pharisees provided by Jesus, which is salvation by faith. Just a moment ago, I talked about the Pharisees and how they were very interested in just adding extra rules in the form of the Mishnah or the oral law. Jesus explained that such laws were not applicable and actually broke them intentionally. The Mosaic law and the oral law were at those days seen in the same level of importance, but Jesus actually criticized them for saying that their laws were not applicable. Jesus actually spoke down about them. In verse 17, it says, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophet." I have not, and he's referring here to the Old Testament. So Jesus explained he didn't come to get rid of the Mosaic law, but rather that of the oral law and Mishnah, because Jesus never broke the Mosaic law. And Jesus actually went on to say in verse 18, "Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven." And he's actually speaking of the, 18, the not an iota or a dot. And in the Hebrew alphabet, it's actually the smallest one. It's number 10 here. And this is what he's referring to when he says, not an iota or a dot will pass away. So even though it's a very small thing, he's saying that not even such a minor thing as that would go away prior to the law changing. So these two are example of such a very minor different letter. What Jesus was trying to say is that the God's law was something that was never going to change, and that law was the one that was correct. Jesus explained the purpose of why he had come in verse 17, and that wasn't to abolish the law or the prophets, but rather to fulfill them. Jesus was explaining how the Mosaic law was something that he had come to fulfill. And this wasn't just an outward expression of fulfilling it, but also to fulfill the law and obey it with the right heart and motive. In order to completely obey a law is something that could only be done by Jesus, because he was the one who was sinless. Before, when Jesus was born, and by his mother who was impregnated by the Holy Spirit, we focused on why, or we learned about why it was necessary he be born in such a way. He had to be born in such a way that he was not sin. He did not have sin. In the Old Testament, it was explained that sacrifices had to be made for sin. Prior to Jesus coming, the people in the Old Testament had to resolve their sin by taking animals, putting their sin upon the animal, and then sacrificing it to God. By sacrificing animals, it was important that such animals had no scars or blemishes. Only perfect animals could be sacrificed, and that was a truth that was true all throughout the Old Testament. However, this was actually not perfect, because people kept on sinning, and so they would just have to continually sacrifice animals. However, God came up with a plan that allowed this issue to be solved just in an instant. And that was to have his son, Jesus Christ, come to the earth and die on the cross. Jesus was born through the Holy Spirit as a sinless person, and he was able to completely obey the Mosaic law. He came to fulfill it. In other words, he was a perfect example of a sacrifice that was completely pure, and in this way he could take all of the sin of humanity upon himself. In this way, Jesus was able to obey the law and provide a way of salvation for us. In verse 20, it states, "For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." So this righteousness that exceeds that of the Pharisees was only something that could be accomplished by Jesus Christ, and it provides a way of salvation for us. The Bible states that anyone who believes in this salvation provided by Jesus and receives Jesus as their Savior will be saved. To have such faith in Jesus allows us to be considered righteous before God. God loves us so much that he provided a way for us to be saved. He sent Jesus to be a sacrifice for us, and if we accept what he has done for us, we can be saved. However, there are times where Christians who have accepted this truth waver in their faith. And for example, one time I went to a different church, I was asked the following question. I actually asked people to raise their hand if they were Christian, and the Christians did. And then I said, "If your heart stops beating right now at this instant, who believes they will go to heaven?" And some people actually put down their hand. And why would they put down their hand? It's possibly that they were still trying to live under the concept of salvation by works. As I explained a while ago, in this world, this competitive society we're living in, we are living in a world that evaluates people based on what they can do. And so some people just fear that they're not good enough to be saved and that they may or may not go to heaven. And they fear that they may not be saved. However, that's incorrect thinking. I would like to tell the testimony of a person before I close today. In the 18th century, there was a British pastor by the name of John Wesley. He was born as a son of a pastor and was very smart. He was able to go to an elite university and created a special group in the university to be able to help the poor. After graduating, he became a missionary and went to Georgia, the USA, to be able to spread the gospel. Anyone around him believed that he was just this amazing Christian. However, as for himself, he really didn't have a conviction that he was saved. He knew that he was doing a lot of good things for God, and he believed that maybe this would make him good enough for God to save him. However, there was a time when a big change had occurred in his life. He went to a certain church and he was participating in the worship service there. The person giving this sermon was speaking about Romans from a passage that Martin Luther had referred to. And it focused on the concept of salvation and how it was received by faith. At that time, the Holy Spirit really spoke to him in his heart, and he came to realize that salvation isn't based on what you can do, but rather what Jesus has done on the cross. He realized how big and great the love of God was expressed on the cross and was saved. In his journal that day, he wrote that he and his heart was able to finally realize this truth. On this day, John Wesley came to be saved through faith. And that faith is something that will never be taken away. Thereafter, he really worked hard to serve the Lord. But his motive for doing so was completely different. Prior, he was worried that he may not be saved, and so that's why he was working so hard. After he had that conviction, he realized that he was loved by God and forgiven by God, and through joy it was that he continued to serve him. In doing this, he was able to become a very influential person in the British revival that took place. In Ephesians, I would like to read 2:8, based on your faith in Christ, you are saved. It's not through your works, but rather so that you can't boast in that way. Today we've looked at the topic of what righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees. And we are freed from salvation of works, this concept. When we look at our lives, we could actually be worried about that. But Jesus tells us that we don't have to, because his love is so much greater and deeper for us. When we receive the salvation of Christ, we can have faith and righteousness, which does exceed that of Pharisees, and it will never be taken away. Today, we can remember about that. Please allow me to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to worship you today. Today, we looked at the topic of what righteousness exceeds that of Pharisees. From the Sermon on the Mount, we've learned that what Jesus was teaching and how there is a limit to what we can do by works. We also learned that salvation is not possible by works, but rather by faith. We thank you that you have bestowed that grace and mercy upon us. We are living in a world where the values and ways of living are quite different from Bible, and we may actually doubt our salvation at times. At such times, though, we can look up to the cross and receive a conviction once again that we are saved. The motive for following you, God, isn't that we are fearful we're not saved, but rather because we are saved, because of what you have done for us, that we want to follow you and do everything we do out of joy of that truth. We pray that this conviction will be given to each person. We thank you for the time today and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let's pray for a moment in silence. Please allow me to pray once more. May the grace of Jesus Christ, the love of our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now, this week, and this year, and forevermore. Amen. We have a few announcements and we'll close today. Please refer to the screen in front. On this coming Thursday, there's going to be the Kira Kira Cafe. It'll start at 10:30 in the morning and go to 12. I hope that you will come and participate. Next is different paintings that are going to be put up starting next week, and you'll be able to enjoy viewing them starting next week, so please look forward to it. The 2025 financial reports for each group at the church are due by February 25th. Please be sure to submit them by in time. Next week on Sunday is going to be International Bible Fellowship, IBF. It will take place here in the sanctuary starting at 12:30. UCLA's third term will begin as well. Koki-sensei and Anjiki-sensei will be the speakers. We hope you will sign up to participate. We're going to have a large cleaning event here at the church on January 18th, starting at 1 o'clock p.m. Mainly, they'll be focusing on cleaning windows and also the vacuuming the floors. Anyone who shows up that day will just be given a simple job to do, so we hope you can come and help out. Now, we'd like to celebrate. Before we celebrate birthdays, we would like to introduce guests today. Please stand up so we can celebrate with you, so we can welcome you. Keiji and Satomi are visiting. Hello. Welcome. Thank you. Have a seat. And also, Masami is visiting as well. Thank you so much for coming today. Now we'll celebrate people with birthdays this coming week. If it's your birthday this coming week, please stand up so we can celebrate you. Izawa-san? Izawa-san's birthday will be on the 6th. We'll sing to you, Izawa-san. May you be blessed. Izawa-san is the leader of the Chinese language group here today, so please celebrate her birthday along with her as well. We hope you have a safe trip home. You're welcome to speak with others before you leave. Thank you. That also concludes English translation. Thank you so much for listening. Have a blessed week, and we'll see you next Sunday.